James chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, in order to clarify his argument that a faith of words without works cannot save, James uses two practical illustrations of saving faith as they are found in the Old Testament and expounded in the New, namely Abraham and Rahab. He has dealt with the work of faith, which is believing, and he now turns to the works that proceed from genuine faith, and which declare a man to be what he professes to be. The works in the verses before us are those that follow faith. They are the works that have been produced by faith. Having in mind the Jews primarily, the Apostle James could not have chosen a more illustrative character than Abraham. Abraham is called in Scripture the father of the faithful, and the Jews were quite proud to refer to Abraham as their father, because they were Jews after the flesh and believed in the God of Abraham, they felt a measure of security. Apparently, they boasted often, saying, "We are Abraham's seed," or "Abraham is our father." Those statements are found in John chapter 8, verses 33 and 39. But don't forget what the Lord Jesus replied to them. He said, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham," John 8:39. Those Jews, like many professing Christians today, made the costly mistake of assuming that they automatically have a standing before God comparable to that of their believing parents. Now James is going to show that Abraham not only believed God, but that he did those things God told him to do, thereby proving his faith by his works. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Interestingly enough, Paul also was led by the Holy Spirit to use Abraham as an illustration. I'm thinking now of Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Again in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now, right here in these verses, we have that seeming contradiction between Paul and James. I said seeming contradiction. Actually, the statements are not contradictory, but complementary. A man is justified only by the kind of faith which does the things that God commands him to do. That faith which refuses to obey God is not the kind of faith that saves. Real faith that saves is a faith that works. I've been impressed with one of Paul's statements when he said in Romans 4:2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Don't fail to note those words, "not before God." You see, there is one's justification before God, and there is the justification of a person before the world of men. There's a difference between God justifying a person and men justifying that same person. Now notice that James, in stating that Abraham was justified by works, refers to the offering of Isaac by Abraham as recorded in Genesis chapter 22. James is not saying that Abraham was justified by works. That's not what he's saying. He said that Abraham was justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Don't overlook this important time element, because it is essential to a correct understanding of the context. Now take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to read verse 6. Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Now note carefully that Abraham was justified by faith in God's eyes some 40 years before he offered Isaac on Mount Moriah. Now we can see here that Abraham's justification by works in offering Isaac was not before God. He was already declared righteous by God when he believed on the Lord. Paul in Romans 4:2 is not saying that Abraham was justified by works, but he is saying that if Abraham were justified by works, it is not before God. As far as Abraham's standing before God was concerned, it was a matter of the heart only, for God alone knew whether or not his faith was real. James, on the other hand, is reminding us that Abraham's sacrificial works, as recorded in Genesis 22, when he had offered up Isaac, justified him before men. He was already justified by God, and that was through faith when he believed, back in the 15th chapter of Genesis. But his sacrifice of Isaac, or the willingness to sacrifice Isaac, as recorded in Genesis chapter 2, justified him in the eyes of the world. Neither Abraham nor any other man can attain the favor of God through any works of the flesh. No amount of works, no claims to perfect obedience will justify a sinner before God. Like Abraham, all men must believe, they must trust, they must commit themselves solely to God. And then, when the believing sinner trusts God, it is then that God in grace credits righteousness to their account on the ground of Christ's redemptive work at Calvary. Since God takes away from Abraham any right to claim justification on the ground of his own works, who among us can stand? Can you stand, my friend? Can I stand on works? Absolutely not. We people today need to learn that God cannot accept self-righteousness. God will have none of it. The only righteousness acceptable unto God is that imputed righteousness which God himself bestows upon the believing sinner, and that upon the faith principle only. Oh, my dear friends, if you and I are going to have any righteousness put to our account, God is the one who's going to have to put it there. For only on the ground of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ can God remain just and be the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. More important than having Abraham as our father in the flesh is to have him as our father in the faith. It is the all-glorious, God-given privilege of all who come within range of the gospel message to receive the spiritual heritage of Abraham. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There are the works of the flesh apart from salvation that precede salvation. Then there are the works of God, the fruit of the Spirit, which follow salvation. And these are produced because one has been saved. Paul looks at the cause of justification, and he sees it from God's viewpoint. James is looking at the effects of justification, and James sees it from man's viewpoint. When Abraham was circumcised 14 years after God justified him, Abraham proved by his actions that he truly believed God back yonder in Genesis 15. When he led Isaac to the altar 40 years after God had justified him, he proved once again his faith by his works. However, the works proved nothing to God, but simply proved Abraham's faith to his fellow men. God knew, apart from works, Abraham's faith was real. By Abraham's works, men knew his faith was real. Now look at James 2:22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Here James appeals to reason. He's simply saying, can't you see from this illustration of Abraham that faith and actions go hand in hand? That real faith is always supplemented by good works? And this is what the scripture means when it says in verse 23, Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When the Bible says that Abraham believed God, you can count on that being genuine faith that produced good works. Otherwise, God never would have written it of Abraham. It is not what we say, but what we do that proves the quality of our faith. When faith is genuine, it will obey God no matter how great the cost. In obedience to God's command, Abraham started by faith, Hebrews 11:8. He sojourned by faith, Hebrews 11:9. And he sacrificed by faith, Hebrews 11:17. The Christian life from its commencement, through its continuance, and on to its consummation is a life of faith. The faith always being manifested by the fruits of obedience and good works. Oh, my friends, what kind of faith do others see in you and me? James is appealing to professing believers to show forth the fruit of righteousness, which is simply the fruit of the Spirit. Whenever we see Abraham's faith expressed in Scripture, we find it at work. And upon examining his works, we find that they had been produced by faith. Let me ask this question. Is your faith operative? Does your faith produce the fruit of good works? Only by a faith that shows itself in good works can one be justified, whether before God or before man. Our Lord said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verses 16 and 20. If every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, what of our lives? What of your life? What of my life? Whatever profession we may make, it is our lives that count. A man can be identified as to the genuineness of his faith only on the basis of what he produces in everyday living. I may have a prophetical, a historical, a doctrinal knowledge of God's divine truth, but the real test of my profession is my behavior. Now the other illustration from the Old Testament, which James uses, is that of Rahab. I'm looking now at verses 25 and 26. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There is one other significant New Testament summary of the life of Rahab, and I think at this point it might be good to turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Hebrews 11:31, and that's just a few pages back from James, Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, both verses identify her as a harlot. That is the verse in James and the one in Hebrews. And I take it that she was just that. She was a harlot and nothing else. And this notorious Gentile woman, unable to claim birthright to those blessings that belonged to the seed of Abraham, has an interesting history. And you can read about Rahab in the book of Joshua, chapters 2 and 6. I'm not treating lightly her awful sin, but I do rejoice to see how the worst of sinners can be forgiven and justified before God and man. Now, James is careful, as in his illustration with Abraham, to to give the time when Rahab was justified by her works. Notice it was when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Rahab's own testimony at the time of her good works follows. Listen to it. And I'm reading now from Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Now when did Rahab believe in the God of Israel? She had trusted her soul to Jehovah when she heard of his great power in judgment against the heathen nations. When Rahab exercised that initial step of faith, she was justified before God. How long she trusted in God, we are not told, but the day arrived when she proved her faith by her works and not merely by her words. When she hid the spies, she was justified by her works before men. Robert Johnstone, in his lectures on the book of James, points out that the position James is maintaining is that all justifying faith is operative. The very nature of saving faith demands that good works follow, regardless of the nature of the case before one is saved. The two illustrations by James show the consistent effectiveness of the gospel at all times, and here both sexes are reached, Abraham the man, Rahab the woman. Here two extremes of moral behavior are used. Here the grace of God is doing its work in the hearts of Jew and Gentile alike. No matter what one's past has been, religiously, morally, socially, or otherwise, if anyone will truly and sincerely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. If he is truly saved, good works according to the word of God will follow. Abraham was the first Hebrew. He was saved by faith. We do not know of anything of Abraham's life that records him as an immoral man. Rahab was a Gentile. She was saved by faith, and yet she was a wicked prostitute before her conversion to God. My dear friends, it matters not who you are, where you are, what your religious background or denominational affiliation is. You, like Abraham and Rahab, and like myself and all other sinners, are desperately in need of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless you come to him by faith and trust him implicitly, there is no hope for salvation for you. Abraham was saved. He believed God, and he proved his faith by his works. Rahab the harlot, in her heart, believed God, and she proved her faith by her works. Now, a word of conclusion in verse 26. James chapter 2 and verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And when a person dies, the body becomes lifeless, simply because the spirit or the breath has left the body. A dead body is good for nothing. Unless it is soon buried, it will spread stench and disease. Even so, a mere profession of faith in Jesus Christ that does not produce good works is dead also. We know there is life in a body when breathing action can be detected. And we know that faith is alive when we see it acting in the life of the professor. Abraham and Rahab proved their faith by their works. Let me ask you a question. What does your profession of faith prove? What does my profession of faith prove? Do you claim to be a true believer in Jesus Christ? If so, then be careful to maintain good works. If I profess to be a true Christian, then I have to be careful to maintain good works. Being a minister of God's word, I must remind you with Paul that works without a dynamic, living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot produce salvation. I am on trial every day of my life. I don't know about you, Christians, but every day I live, I realize a growing responsibility. And the longer I live and the older I become, I am more and more aware of the fact that I have but one life, and to be a phony will profit me nothing and certainly never be a testimony to others. How many professing Christians have hurt other people by making a confession of Christ and then living as some worldling, some godless unbeliever? How many husbands have professed publicly to be Christians, yet in the home they are almost like madmen, showing no love for the wife, no love for the children? How many wives, and I mean sincerely when I say this, teach women's groups, take part in a missionary society, travel around telling other women how to get along in their homes with their husbands and their children, yet those women are domineering, rebellious wives in their own home? That kind of an outward show is blasphemous and certainly does not honor and glorify God. All faith without works is dead. I must remind you, as I must remind my own soul, that a formal faith in declaring a dogma or confessing a creed that fails to produce holy living and good hard work according to the Word of God will condemn the person who professes to be a Christian. I think one of the tragedies today in church life is that there are so many phonies around. As I've said many times on this broadcast, that I have had the privilege of ministering in more than 1,100 different churches in America. And I see the behavior of professing Christians. Pastors unburden their hearts to me and tell me of the wickedness and the cruelty of members of their church who claim to be children of God. Oh, let us be solemnly warned today from the Word of God that if we make any kind of a profession at all of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to back it up with good, godly living. Well, I see our time is running out.